it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Wilkin, Parker collapsing, down he goes. Nick Bosa. He had the strip sack last week to salt it away. He's got his second sack of the season to force the punt team on.
Hey, it's Joe Shasky, and football season is here, and you know what that means. It means Baldy, Brian Baldinger, every Tuesday, 7:30, all season long. Now back to Steiny and Goo. Yo, Steiny, get off the fence, Humpty Dumpty, and start spitting some of that real real.
All righty, thanks, Joe. Appreciate that. And Mac Jones leads the 49ers to a win yesterday in New Orleans, 26-21. I said, Evan, he said he was a little nervous. Take a listen. We can jump into this.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's just like not making it bigger than it is. And like sometimes when you have them, like you fight them, but like you can't really do that. You just got to let them come and figure out how to work through it. And a lot of it's just breathing and slowing down your pulse. And obviously worked on that this offseason and got to continue to grow in that area. But really the guys around me, like Trent came up to me. He's like, "You're good, dude. Just go out there and hoop." And I was like, "I got you. I can go hoop." And then once he said that, I was like, "All right, let's play ball." So that was kind of cool.
That was Mac Jones talking a little bit about some nerves early in the game. And Trent Williams saying, "Just go out and hoop."
Yeah, I mean, I think he looked nervous, right?
A little bit.
That first drive.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it was Trent. I don't know if it was him just settling in and remembering that like he's been an NFL quarterback before. He's won games. He's quarterbacked a team to the playoffs. Like, he was a national champion in college. I mean, this is what he does. So, it's like, I'm looking around the league, though, Steiny. I think it's interesting that Kyle Shanahan finally realized, like, how important a backup quarterback. You see how many guys are going down left and right?
Burrow went down.
J.J. McCarthy just got ruled out.
Yes.
And they play each other next week, I think.
Jaden Daniels
is also, he's questionable for next week's game against the Raiders, right? So he got hurt. And teams need backup quarterbacks. I know it's crazy, but Mac Jones is probably, I don't know, one of the better ones out there.
You would think so. But even if he's not the best backup quarterback out there, I get the sense that he's the one that Kyle Shanahan would want to be his backup quarterback. It does seem like there's a fit there. It does feel like he's got some similarities to Brock Purdy, the mobility accepted a little bit there. But, I mean, Mac Jones just started the second game of the season for the 49ers and has been a backup on this team for less than a year and performed that way. Like, that's pretty encouraging. It's not like he's been a backup for Purdy for a few years. I mean, they just signed him this offseason, and he played very well as a backup in week two, and that's got to be really encouraging for 49er fans.
Well, if you have to have Mac Jones as your quarterback for a long time, but I don't expect him to be on the field for that much longer, you know, he was forced into action, and that's why you brought him in. I don't think anybody had, in week two, Mac Jones starting on their bingo card, but if he's in, I mean, they were still favored in that game. Like, that was a game that I expected them to still win. And so the fact that he went out and did it, it's huge for the Niners. If they make the playoffs this year, that's a big piece of it now. The fact that Mac Jones stepped in, and with a backup quarterback, you still took a step towards either a wild card berth or potentially winning the division.
888-957-9570. If I'd asked 49er fans, best part of that win yesterday? What was the best part of that win yesterday? And I think there's a lot to choose from. I mean, to me, this team seems like it's, and maybe it's just because of the outcome of the first two games, but it does feel like they're more together this year. I'm not saying they weren't together last year, but I do think the offseason last year kind of took its toll on the team, and I'm not sure how ready they were at the start of the season, but it does feel like they have a sense this year of what they wanted to accomplish the first few weeks of the season. And I feel like they've taken the first 2 weeks very seriously, and the fact that they've gotten wins in both those games is something that is making Warner and Bosa and the veterans feel like, I almost feel like they put an emphasis on these first couple games, knowing that if they could play well and come out with some wins, that it's going to set the table for an overall successful season. Especially now where they expect to get healthier as the season moves along.
Well, doesn't this feed into your theory from last year that the offseason is one of the biggest reasons why the season didn't go well? I mean, they dealt with injuries last year. A bigger one was McCaffrey, but, I mean, you lost your quarterback and you still won a game. So, I don't know. I mean, do you feel better about chemistry being a major component to this year's group compared to last?
You know what? I don't know if it's chemistry, but I think there's something about this team where they're fresher mentally. I really do. Like, they had two great years. They didn't get it done. Then everything fell apart last year. And I just think that guys like Warner and maybe McCaffrey, Bosa, like, they all know that this is a big year. Nobody wants to miss the playoffs 2 years in a row. The only way that they can prove that last year was an anomaly is if they get back to the postseason this year. I feel like their veterans have a real serious commitment to this season. Like last year, I feel like there might have been a little too much emphasis on the individuals in that offseason. I feel like the emphasis right now with this team is on the team. And that's what most people are signifying is important this year. The team, not so much whatever their contract situation or what they hope to accomplish in the offseason before they started playing games.
Well, they also got all the contracts done pretty early. I mean, I do think that someone like Juwan Jennings deserves a lot of credit after his performance yesterday, because he was the one guy who was, I don't know if it's holding out or holding in, whatever you want to call it, but he didn't practice because he was trying to get some more money, took a prove it deal with more incentives, and as opposed to Ayuk, who did not play very well the first few weeks of the season, Juwan Jennings was their leading receiver yesterday. He made maybe the biggest touchdown catch of the game, and I think so far has been able to put some of those contract disputes behind him.
Yeah, I think they're behind him. I don't think anybody's begrudging him anything there. And when you have a game like yesterday, people tend to forget the offseason. This is Mac Jones on that touchdown pass to Juwan Jennings that made it a 26-14 49er lead.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle, that's one of Kyle's favorite plays, and we always have it in the game plan, and they gave us a different look than what we were kind of thinking. And Juwan just had a drive-by and just caught it. And I just looked to the left a little bit, moved the backer, and then threw it. And then he took it to the house. But he did a great job, obviously playing through some stuff. And love those guys' effort and energy out there today.
All right, that's Mac Jones on the Juwan Jennings touchdown pass. Would Jennings have 4 or 5 catches for 90-plus yards? He was very good yesterday, and Christian McCaffrey got it done. And I think Kyle Shanahan alluded to it, Evan, and I think it's been easily traceable the first two games. They're getting a lot of contributions out of a lot of different guys. And now that's 2 weeks in a row, and that's the part that Shanahan, I think, is most pleased about, that not only they're winning, and then some of their young players are chipping in, and then some of their role players are doing what they need to do also. So I don't see one aspect of the 49ers that's standing out or a significant weakness at this point. Obviously, we'll talk about the special teams as the season goes on, but heck, that was even kind of a bright spot yesterday too. So can they play better? Yeah, but I think Kyle Shanahan looks at that game yesterday and says, I thought the offense was pretty good, I thought the defense was pretty good, and I thought special teams was pretty good.
I mean, isn't that why people say injuries aren't an excuse?
One of the reasons, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, we went down the list last week, right? We talked about how this has been one of the most injured teams in football, and Kyle Shanahan's sort of the common denominator of it all. His teams generally get hurt more than other teams. But those teams have also been wildly successful. I mean, they've accomplished everything outside of winning a Super Bowl. So in years where they're a top five or top six injured group, they've still found ways to not just get to the postseason, but win multiple playoff games. And maybe it's just because last year they got, you know, so banged up and they were losing games left and right, close ones, blowouts, all the rest. We just kind of forgot how much Kyle Shanahan can get out of a team that's hurt, and especially 2 years ago, a team that's not hurt. So, you know, I think watching the game yesterday, it was also a reminder of just why Shanahan never makes excuses for injuries. Or he doesn't really give him much credence, which is frustrating at times, but hell, it's like, I mean, the guy is still winning football games.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco, on Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. 49ers up their record to 2-0 with a 26-21 win over the New Orleans Saints. And one way to look at it also, Evan, is good thing they're 2-0 because everybody else in the division is winning other than the team you beat last week. So that's one reason why a 2-0 start is pretty important.
Yeah. You're right. They're The NFC West is right now the best division in football between the four teams. They got three undefeateds.
Yeah, I mean, they could, in theory, you don't win these two games, you're kind of behind the eight ball early if you're playing the Arizona Cardinals and Rams, and you might have to play both those teams without your starting quarterback. It's like, hey, 2-0 is big that you're at, that this is where you are after two games. Especially in light of who your next two opponents are and the fact that you're probably going to use a backup. Let's go to the Samoan Niner in San Leandro. What's going on, Samoan Niner?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, fellas. How you doing, Steiny Evan?
Doing well, thank you.
What's up?
Well, I think going into this season, I think it was very vital that we brought in coaches like Robert Saleh, hell, even Gus Bradley. And I think it was even big that Kyle Shanahan decided to give the offensive – I know Kyle probably still helps with play-calling duties, but just him having Clay Kubiak to help call the offense, I think with the amount of turnover that we saw going into this season, having those coaches to lead our – a lot of these young players was very important. And we're starting to see these young players, you know, flourish with Upton Stout. I thought Mikel Williams had made some plays yesterday. And it's important to have these coaches because with all of these rookies that came in, there will be growing pains. And along with these growing pains, it's going to take these gritty wins. So these two wins, I think, are definitely building blocks going forward. And I think the Niners are in very good hands. Thanks for taking my call, fellas.
Yeah, appreciate it. I'm with you. The 49ers, they have new personnel. They got a backup court. Like, just specifically as it relates to their offense, like, they might have to be gritty the first 4 or 5 weeks. Like, they're probably...
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
not going to put up a ton of points with a backup, like with the guys that they have out. So,
I mean, they scored more points in this game than they did in week one.
Yeah, I know. I know. And but what I'm saying is like I looked at yesterday's game like kind of as a gritty game, a one-score game where you're going to have to make get a hold late, maybe get a score late. And the first two games, I do feel like the 49ers have displayed a grittiness or a togetherness or a cohesiveness that they didn't start last season with.
Yeah, I mean, I think that losing the Super Bowl probably has something to do with that. And this year, I think that they have the chip on their shoulder of being a team that missed the postseason. You know, with every win, they get closer and closer to proving that last year was just a blip on the radar. And that last year was just a product of injury. You know, it's kind of like what happened in 2020, right? So 2020, they were the most injured team in football. Garoppolo, Bosa, a lot of guys get hurt at key positions. And they stink. And the next year, they're right back in the NFC Championship game. Now, they didn't start that year very well. I think they were like 3-4. But the fact remains that Shanahan, since he's sort of rebuilt this franchise, right, has had two down years, 2020 and then last season. And the first time, they just bounced right back. And in fact, they went to three straight NFC Championship games. You know, I was skeptical that they could do that because I think this is a different group. I mean, a lot of those players from the Super Bowl team were still there. They moved on from guys. But maybe it is Steiny. Maybe last year is just a complete anomaly.
I mean, it's looking like that now. But again, it's early. And you know, I would just, if I'm a Niner fan, I'd be feeling pretty good about a lot of what I'm seeing. And I, you know, this is the part. There's going to be a lot of pushback because of the schedule. But anytime you go in to, you know, if you get a backup quarterback to win on the road, I think you take that 9 out of 9 times.
Why not 10 out of 10?
Well, because I was going to go 9 out of 10, and I thought, you know, you'd probably take it even more than 90% of the time. I think when a backup quarterback throws 3 touchdowns and no picks, that's probably a game you take 10 out of 10 times, or 9 out of 9.
I mean, he was 270 with 3 touchdowns. Like,
did he? I'm trying to think of his closest call with an interception. Was there anything like close? I don't, because I remember last week we were talking about Purdy. You know, he could have had a couple more interceptions. I don't remember Mac Jones getting away with anything yesterday. It felt like he was pretty accurate, and the balls that were incomplete were just incomplete.
Well, again, he made some bad throws, but I don't think he didn't put the ball in harm's way from my recollection. And I also don't think that. He also put his receivers in harm's way. Like, there weren't any hospital balls, which sometimes the backup quarterbacks, it feels like, you know, you're just a little bit off. In fact, there was actually a couple times where it felt like drops hurt the Niners. There was a big drop on the last drive before they got the stand to sink the Saints. I think it was like a 3rd and short, and he put a pretty good ball between 2 defenders to Juwan Jennings, and he dropped the ball. So his day could have been a lot better. Like, that's all you can ask for. For Mac Jones to step in and win this football game, I think through 2 weeks, you already have a lot of confidence because of how you won those games. But the fact that they've had so many players step up and not just play well, but help the team win, like, that's something that I don't really know if you can quantify.
Well, I hear you. And the other thing is, if you look at this team, the defense has a lot of new faces. We know that. The quarterback's hurt. The wide Ayuk's hurt. For them to be 2-0, like, this is kind of what I mean, and this is just a hunch, but it's kind of what I'm seeing with Warner and Bosa. I do feel like they are really emphasizing getting off to a good start, trying to stack wins, and like not not giving in just because they're banged up early in the season. You know what I mean? Like, they're not, it feels like they know they've got some key injuries, but they're just not going to allow that to be the reason that they don't have a successful season. Like, there are, I really feel like their veterans this year are in a different mindset than they were last year, coming off losing that Super Bowl. Like, they, it feels like they're more energetic, feels like they have more of a commitment to getting back on top, and it feels like they're just fresher. They're fresher, not having come back to training camp after a, you know, stunning Super Bowl loss.
Well, yeah, they didn't play an extra month of football, which helps. And some of those guys actually got shut down late in the season. You know, I don't know if it's that they're fresher. I think they're prideful. I mean, this is the San Francisco 49ers. They're accustomed to playing meaningful, important games. The Warners, the Bosas, the Kittles, the McCaffreys, the Trent Williams. Like, these guys have been around for a ton of big games, and last year stunk. I mean, I remember it was Fred Warner last year, like, listening to him in the locker room postgame. He sounded at a loss for words. He could not figure out why this team was unable to win games, close games. And, you know, so I don't know if it's like emphasizing getting off to a better start. I think they just probably believe that last year was a complete anomaly. And so far this year, they've proven that they may be correct. You know, but it's not just the stars, Steiny. I mean, the biggest play on offense in week one was made by a guy who had not caught a football in the NFL before, Jake Tonjes, who wasn't heard from a whole lot in week two, but like, he made the biggest play of the game in week one. So I don't know if it's that the veterans are stepping more into leadership roles. I don't know. But what it appears is that this football team certainly has a different level of confidence that they're going to get contributions from every single person on the roster more than they did last year.
Why was Fred Warner so emotional after that game yesterday? That's what I'm trying to figure out, because he was very wound up after that game, and it felt like there was more going on yesterday than just a game in New Orleans against the Saints, and it had to do with the fact that you know, they were playing in front of a lot of 49er fans, and where's the one?
Yeah, right over there?
Yeah, I'm looking at the Shanahan was comparing that game to when they came down like 3 or 4 years ago. Remember when Kittle made the great play in that 48-46 game?
In 2019?
Like, yeah. A lot of guys referenced that. But I'm just wondering what, like, I thought Warner was super, super excited after that game. And I'm just wondering if there is something, like, what is this extra thing going on if that's what's actually going on?
Wait, what?
He was in tears. Fred Warner was in tears after that game. Like, he was really emotional. I'm just wondering why.
Because it was a big win for him. I mean, you won a game with your backup quarterback. You won a game in which you didn't have Kittle. You're already without Ayuk. You lost two guys during the game. I just think that for whatever reason, Fred Warner, it's, you know, like, when he's emotional, that's just it is strange, but it's because this is a different season. And I gotta give him credit. Like, if you had told me that they'd gone through all they did, I wouldn't have him at 2-0 after 2 weeks, would you?
You mean after all the injuries and stuff?
Yeah, and not having their quarterback. Like, I thought that either they would lose in Seattle or potentially with a backup quarterback on the road. Like, I didn't have him at 2-0 at this point.
Yeah, I don't know what I had him, but I do. Like, I thought they could go down and beat the Saints with Mac Jones. Now, the next two games, if Mac Jones is going to be the quarterback, you know, can he get one? Can he get one out of the next two? But I think the way 49er fans are looking at it after Mac Jones played yesterday is that why can't you win any game you're playing if everybody's clicking on all cylinders? 888-957-9570 is the number. Your 49ers, ladies and gentlemen, are 2-0, and they've done it despite a lot of injuries. They've done it despite playing two games on the road, and they did it against the division rival Seattle Seahawks a week ago. How are we feeling about this start to the season? 888-957-9570 is the number. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. That segment also brought to you by Safeway.
Yep, no doubt about that as they find Jennings running free. Juwan Jennings going to take it in for a San Francisco touchdown. 42 yards from Jones to Jennings for six.
Juwan Jennings.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, Mac Jones to Juwan Jennings there. 42-yard touchdown pass made it 26-14. And the 49ers were able to hang on 26-21. They beat the New Orleans Saints and go to 2-0 behind Mac Jones. Backup quarterback, three touchdown passes. And the defense held late. McCaffrey looking healthy. The defense looks pretty good. And this team is 2-0. And on the heels of a 6-11 season, I don't know how 49er fans can't be feeling pretty darn good about the way this season has started, Evan.
Do you think Mac Jones, did he play better than you expected yesterday?
Yes. Although, yes. But I do credit Kyle Shanahan with a chunk of that, too. It felt like the throws, like he didn't, Mac Jones didn't do anything out there that looked incredible. He just made the throws he was given, put the ball where it needed to be put. He didn't turn it over through the air. That's where I think we've got to give Kyle Shanahan the credit that he deserves for being the offensive play caller that he is. I mean, that's Kyle Shanahan there. I got to give him credit for that. And I thought it's kind of what you expect from Kyle Shanahan if he thinks he's got a competent quarterback back there, and I think he does with Mac Jones as a backup.
Yeah, well, and that's the kind of game that like a lot of people come down Kyle Shanahan's road, and sure, he has he's got his stuff, right? He's sometimes a little arrogant. Sometimes he refuses to adjust. Doesn't know overtime rules in the Super Bowl. He's got his downsides, there's no doubt. But he's also someone that, I mean, that's why Goose says it all the time. He's like a quarterback whisperer. He can get the most out of a quarterback where a lot of coordinators or a lot of play callers can't. And watching yesterday, I don't think the offense looked all that much different. Mac Jones executed when he needed to. He played with backups around him. I mean, Kendrick Bourne again was signed 5 days ago and caught all three of his catches for 32 yards. And they didn't really skip a beat, I think, offensively. I didn't expect that. I thought that Mac Jones was going to look nervous for more of that game. I thought that he was going to put the ball in harm's way more than he did. And he played so well that it changes the way that I look at the game on Sunday against Arizona if he has to start. Mac Jones looked awesome against the Saints. And yes, I know it's New Orleans, but with how Arizona's looked through 2 weeks, Steiny, that's a game I feel like the 49ers can now win with Mac Jones.
You know who I credit for that win yesterday is, do you think they win that game without Shanahan and Saleh?
No.
I don't either. And that's where, like, I know that Kyle's
like if Nick Sorensen is the defensive coordinator, I don't feel like they win that game yesterday.
Right. And this is, to my way of thinking, I know Kyle Shanahan's got detractors out there, but even as detractors, like how can you look at that game yesterday and not say, man, Kyle Shanahan, the guy can coach offense. The guy can coach offense. Like you have to give him credit for putting together an offensive game plan that allowed him to win that game yesterday. Let's go to Jan. Jan's in Mountain View. Jan, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic.
Nice.
I'll tell you, big shout-out to Sala for coming back, and a big shout-out to Shanahan. Just what you're pointing out. The defense is coming together, and unlike the previous years, and I'll tell you another thing. Thornton last year, when they had that Campbell that came in to try and help out, what a joke. Winters, my goodness, he's I feel like he's going to be another Greenlaw. I mean, he was really, really tackling yesterday and hit.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hitting them 1, 2, 3. And another thing is that he played a little bit last year, but he should have been. I'll tell you, if Sala was the defensive coordinator last year, he would have been in there, and that Campbell guy wouldn't have had a chance. And Mac Jones, I mean, he, like you said, he placed the ball where. He should have, and he didn't turn the ball over other than that one little fumble that he had. And I feel like it was a great team effort all around, and everybody should be feeling pretty good about that win. And let's bring it on next week and keep it going. Thank you.
No, thank you, Jan. Appreciate the call. She was talking about DeAndre Campbell.
Yeah, guy who... went AWOL in the middle of a game. You know what? Okay, since we're talking about him, that is a game that yesterday, Steiny, when you say fire Kyle Shanahan, you just look stupid. You just do. Like, should Kyle Shanahan no longer be the head coach of the 49ers? We've talked about it. And look, we talk about it after big games. We talked about it after last offseason. When you go 6-11, you miss the playoffs. When you suggest that, you just look dumb. He got Mac Jones to throw for 270 and 3 touchdowns. You want a road game without your backup quarterback, with your backup quarterback, with a backup tight end, with a wide receiver that wasn't on a team a week ago. You won it with a ton of rookies playing on defense, and you won it with, I know that you don't think about it, but a backup kicker. You signed Pinheiro this week, and you still won a road game in the NFL. Like, I'm sorry, that's Kyle Shanahan. And we sit up here and criticize him whenever things don't go his way and when the Niners lose. And on a day like today, you got to give him his flowers.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Nick Bosa was asked about the defense. Take a listen.
Yeah, I feel like we saved our best rush for the end, and I kicked inside and rushed the guard, and I just saw the ball flailing around, so it was good. Happy for Huff.
He's talking about the Bryce Huff play at the to seal the game.
But even that's another guy who. Under a previous coordinator, I don't know if Bryce Huff is going to be good. I mean, his only super productive year in the NFL was when Robert Saleh was his head coach with New York. And that's what he's in the game for, is to get to the quarterback, and he did exactly what he was asked to do.
This from the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Yeah, sure. And this is... And I'll fire this back at the 925 who says, yeah, sure, Kyle Shanahan can still look like a genius with a backup quarterback against the Saints. The reality is that it doesn't really matter that it was against the Saints. Backup quarterbacks don't look like that against pretty much any NFL team, whether it's the Saints or somebody else. I mean, I thought there was a chance that the 49ers offense could look really shaky after last week and the way the offensive line played and having to use Mac Jones at quarterback this week. But I feel like, you know, he got the ball. He got rid of the ball for the most part on time. He probably kept it a little bit too long, a few plays. But I feel like he was pretty decisive. He hit the guys who were open. And, yes, I give credit to Kyle Shanahan there, absolutely. And I also think he looks at Mac Jones, and there's just something about him that he's like, he's kind of Kyle's type of quarterback, you know? Smart, can be precise, executes, does what he's told, follows the game plan. They got two of those now with Purdy and him.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, you're right. I think that, you look at that game, and I didn't expect Mac Jones to be as proficient as he was throwing the ball. I just didn't. And that, to me, is the Kyle Shanahan effect. It's that you basically had a player, like Brock Purdy week one was not as effective, and granted it was against a better Seahawks defense, but like Mac Jones put up better numbers in week two than Purdy did in week one. I don't think that means anything as far as the position moving forward, but I do believe that that is directly correlated to Kyle Shanahan. And Mac Jones being, sure, the kind of passer, if you want to say it, but I just feel like this is a... Kyle Shanahan might not be the best coach in the NFL, and that's not what I'm saying, but he is one of the best head coaches in the NFL, and certainly as a play caller. Like... That to me is just, it's undeniable.
I agree. I mean, I agree. And I know there's a lot of fans, 49er fans, that are, you know, disappointed that the 49ers have lost two Super Bowls, and I get it, but that doesn't take away from the fact that you're absolutely right. Kyle Shanahan is a really, really, really good coach. By the way, the 49er fans, they were loud in New Orleans yesterday, and Kyle Shanahan noticed.
Oh, it's so cool. I mean, one of my favorite times in my career was 2019, how many fans we had here, how loud that game was, and then watching them on Bourbon Street after. Driving around yesterday or coming back from our walkthrough on the bus Saturday, just seeing a bunch of groups of Niner fans walking around. So I know our guys travel well, but it seems like we travel here better. The stadium almost seemed 50-50. There was times we didn't have to do the silent cadence during the game, which was unusual. And then you can hear our guys at the end. So I'm going to be happier with our fans. It was pretty cool.
All right. Niner fans travel.
What was that?
Why?
What was that, Pasta?
What was that?
He said Bourbon Street.
Well, didn't he? Can I listen? They leave right after the game, right?
Yeah, they didn't go to Bourbon Street, but the fans did.
But how did he know that they did?
He said he was driving video. Around.
I'm going to listen to it again.
Oh, it's so cool. I mean, one of my favorite times in my career was 2019, how many fans we had here, how loud that game was, and then watching them on Bourbon Street after. Driving around yesterday or coming back from our walkthrough on the bus Saturday, just seeing a bunch of groups of Niner fans walking around. So I know our guys travel well, but it seems like we travel here better. The stadium almost seemed 50-50. There was times we didn't have to do the silent cadence during the game, which was unusual. And then you can hear our guys at the end. So I'm going to be happier with our fans. It was pretty cool.
Hey, see what I mean? Maybe they stayed in the Big Easy after that win in 19. What was he doing on Bourbon Street after the game?
I mean...
Got to get to the bottom of that.
I'm not a doctor, so...
Kyle Shanahan's not on Bourbon Street. Maybe he had a couple friends who were, though.
Possibly.
I mean...
I think it's safe to assume, Steiny, that if you're in New Orleans, at one point or the other, you're going to be on Bourbon Street. So he saw a lot of Niners fans, and yeah... They're out there to have a good time. They beat the Saints in a close game. And 2019 was a lot more competitive than this one.
Yeah, and I got to believe that New Orleans is a place where most opposing fan bases show up in large numbers. New Orleans, Vegas now are probably the ideal destination for the opposing team when they play the Saints. Everybody loves New Orleans. By the way, Evan, you had texted me over the weekend. I didn't get back to you. Tulane, they beat Duke 34-27.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. Darian Mentz's came back to Tulane, and Tulane put a whooping on them. We're 3-0 now. And don't let the 34-27 score fool you.
So you only won by a touchdown.
Duke scored on their last two possessions. We had our Scribbies in, and we didn't really, you know what I mean.
Where was the game?
Oh, it was at Yulman Stadium.
Oh, so it was a home game.
Yes.
Yeah, a little bit easier of an environment.
Yeah, but we made it really tough on Darian Mensa. Mm-hmm. By the way, did you see Retzlaff?
Oh, he made it easy on himself. I think he took like $8 million.
Yeah. Did you see Retzlaff?
Sonny, I don't know who Retzlaff is.
He's our quarterback. He had three rushing touchdowns in the first half.
Who's our?
Tulane. That's my team. Yeah, I can say we. If you pay tuition, you can say we.
That's actually a good point.
Yes. So, nice win for Tulane. Thank you, Risotto. Appreciate it. Gosh. You know, still working on my headset here. I need Tim Jordan.
You know, I think it's funny that we got new microphones specifically to prevent you from moving them around and adjusting them at every single second.
Yeah.
And you know what? You still found a way.
Well, here's the thing. Tim Jordan's got to get on this, too.
On what?
That.
How about you turn off the mic when you move it, Steiny, and that way we don't hear creaking. It's like we're living in a haunted house back here.
We need some WD-40.
You can just turn it off.
Well, no, because listen.
Yeah, but the audience can't hear the creaking.
I think they can hear it through your mic there. Okay. Mac Jones. When did he talk about the nerves early?
Yeah, really, I've worked a lot on my mindset this offseason, and obviously when you're having your first start, you're going to have a couple nerves, but just working through those, and once I finally got into a rhythm, and I felt like the line did a great job blocking for me, and when they do that, I know I can sit in there and let it fly, so definitely things to clean up, but really proud of the guys, the defense, special teams, and I definitely had a plan coming in, and I'm going to learn from the mistakes I made and then fix them, you know, and that's all you can do. You got to start somewhere, so.
Got to look long and hard to find his mistakes. Just one measly turnover.
Well, the fumble, yeah, but no, he made mistakes in the game. I mean, he missed receivers. There was a couple balls that were behind guys. But that happens. I mean, the fact is he made the plays when he needs to. And I thought, I mean, like the touchdown pass to Juwan Jennings was a Kyle Shanahan special, and he put it right where he needed to. Juwan was in stride, and there wasn't anybody around him. Like he was wide open, and some of that could be on the Saints' defense. I think a lot of it was Shanahan dialed up the right play at the right time, and Mac Jones put it on him.
He was untouched. Like, he didn't get touched. So, to me, that's the biggest indication that he not only was wide open, he schemed him open, and nobody was even able to lay a hand on him after the catch. And that, of course, put the Niners up 26-14, and they'd go on to win that game 26-21. 888-957-9570 is the number. 49ers, they're now 2-0 after their second consecutive win on the road, and now next week they come home for their home opener against the Cardinals, who are 2-0. After that, it's the Rams. Who are also 2-0 right now. So it looks
Jacksonville
like
week four. Jacksonville week four, LA week five.
Oh, that's right.
LA
that's right,
week five.
They have two straight home games, and then they go to the Rams for week
Well, that'll
week
be a home
five.
Game, too. You know, Niners fans travel well, especially when it's to LA. It'll be red. Don't worry.
Yeah, I think 49er fans travel. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. More Mac Jones, and this is his mindset during the game. Take a listen.
Honestly, just like the first series, I just felt like I could have done a better job starting and finishing, to be honest. And then everything in between, like I felt like pretty rhythmic and stuff. But I know there's going to be things I missed on tape, like I already know. And like Mick Lombardi did a good job on the sideline. He's like, stay in it, you're good. Like, we're going to win this. And he knows me really well, so like he knows I need to – be like tunnel vision and just focus on my job and let everything else take care of itself.
Mac Jones, 1-0 as a starter for the San Francisco 49ers. What do you think of the play Fred Warner made on the Kamara fumble? Did you think it was a fumble in real time?
I did. Well, actually, I thought it might have been an interception, just like watching the way that he kind of tumbled over and took the ball, and then you realize once it hit the ground that, yeah, that was like that ball was live. But that's Fred Warner.
I know.
Like it seems like anytime he's around the ball, he's so good at punching it out. He did that. I think it might have been week two against Minnesota last year, but that kind of peanut punch is. I mean, it doesn't matter where he is on the field. Every ball is, it might be Fred Warner's if he's around it.
Yeah, and that play there happened around midfield, and that's the turnover that ended up turning into a Juwan Jennings touchdown that put the 49ers up 12.
Kamara was gashing him, though.
Yeah, 99 yards. I thought the Saints ran the ball well. They moved the ball fairly well, but... you know, the Niners kind of bent, didn't break, and they were able to, the one thing that I think is nice, Evan, is they've got a lot of younger players on that defense, and now they've come out of the first two games with the win, and the defense has been really solid. Like, I feel like this is exactly what Robert Saleh was talking about before they ever played a game, and that is to kind of establish who they are early in the year and then get better over the course of a season and then see where they are late in the year.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Saints offense posed a different challenge than the one in Seattle. I also think that the fact that the Niners, you know, didn't control time of possession as dominantly as they did against the Seahawks, it probably made it a little tougher for the defense because they weren't as fresh. Time of possession was just about even. Niners won it slightly, but, you know, the Saints had 120 rushing yards. They were 6 on the ground. So it wasn't like they didn't run the ball effectively. I think they basically just banked on Rattler not being able to make enough plays. And he also didn't get help from a few of his receivers. Johnson had a couple drops, really easy ones, just like inexplicable. But I think the Saints offense through the air, the Niners figured they were not going to be able to make enough plays to beat them. And that's exactly what happened.
888-957-9570 is the number. 49er fans, what's your enthusiasm level after that game yesterday, 26-21? You're 2-0, your quarterback's banged up, you've had some injuries, you're coming off a 6-11 season, you're 2-0 now. It feels like there's, you know, two schools of thought. One is a lot of fans excited, and why not? And then it also feels like some other fans maybe are expecting even more out of this team. But my question is, they're 2-0, and they just beat the Saints yesterday with Mac Jones. What's your enthusiasm level right now for the San Francisco 49ers after a disappointing year last year? 888-957-9570. That segment was brought to you by Moderna.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.